What's going on, everybody? It's been a while. Man, where do I even begin? A lot of stuff happened in my personal life that I'm not going to get into until I have, a lot more stuff is, found out, researched. I will say that when the new season starts for the Premier League, I will be back doing regular podcasts, video, and multitude of other stuff that isn't just about soccer. Over the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 months, watching all these people get, into the podcasting game, into the live streaming, and just talking about like what's on their mind. Like, I just don't understand why I haven't done that for so long. I'm sitting here in my car, smoking a backwoods. There's marijuana, of course. I don't smoke like cigars or anything. A lot of stuff has just come across my mind. Where's Damian Lillard gonna go? Is this start the NBA season, or is Portland gonna wait until the trade deadline to actually do something about that? We'll have to wait and see. My prediction is I think he'll be gone at the start of the season, rather than the trade deadline, preferably before Christmas, is where I see Damian Lillard getting traded. Where's he gonna go? Is he gonna go to Miami? Is he gonna go to Philly? Is he gonna go to the Clippers, San Antonio? My ideal situation for Damian Lillard would be if the Knicks package of RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, and then some picks, and then they go get Damian Lillard and then pair him with Jalen Brunson in that backcourt. I think that would be a scary team in the Eastern Conference. But realistically, he's going to probably force his way to Miami, and Miami is going to be right back in contention before that Eastern Conference round. Is it enough to put them over the top? I mean, I don't think they're going to. I still think that Denver would probably still beat them in a 7-game series, but it would still come close because Damian Lillard. When you think of point guards in the past 10 to 12 years, like the two names that continuously come to mind are Damian Lillard and Steph Curry. My feelings on Steph is he's the greatest shooter, the greatest point guard of all time. And he's in the top 10 of players all time. There's no discussion, there's no debate about that. I mean, he changed the game, and you got kids that are basing their game off of trying to shoot from half court. Excuse me. I mean, you got parents out here trying to model their kids to look like Steph Curry. I mean, for fuck's sake, my little brother has an uncanny resemblance to bro, but never in my wildest dreams would I want him to try to be like Steph Curry. But and that's not an insult to him because he's such an influence in my life. So, where do I think Damian Lillard will end up? I think he ends up in Miami, and it still won't be enough because I don't think that the champion is coming out of the East. It's going to come out of the Western Conference again. Switching gears over to Golden State, them trading Jordan Poole was something that, deep down I didn't want them to do. It was what, his fourth year in the league, already a champion in year three, showed out in the year they got knocked out in the play-in game. I mean, when you think about it, Jordan Poole was just getting started. What killed him was just his decision-making and his basketball IQ in the most crucial moments against LA. You look at the three-point shot he took. That's Steph Curry range. Now, a lot of NBA players, Tyrese Haliburton, the team name one, is like, oh yeah, like that's a great shot. That's not a great shot for Jordan Poole. Now, can he hit it? Yes, but it's like it's more or less you need to know the situation you're in. If that's Steph taking that shot, you don't have a problem with it because you've seen him do it and it's his team. You've seen Klay do it, but Klay was just so inconsistent in the postseason. Like you didn't know if you were about to get a 35-point masterclass from focus on Clay, or he has, or dude has 7 points and is shooting like 2 of 17. Like, you just don't know. And I think Klay Thompson has a lot to prove this year, because I think Golden State and next offseason are going to be major players for either a trade, or they go all in for Giannis and really try to get Steph his 5th ring. But, you know, it's funny how the NBA works out. I was talking to my friend about, watch that space with Embiid and Giannis, because next offseason they may want out. You never know. So, I mean, I'm looking at it like, if Golden State were to make a play for either one, I would rather them go for Giannis, just because of what he can do. I mean, you're 7 feet tall. You're unstoppable going to the Iraq. Great playmaker. Defensive player of the year. MVP. Finals MVP. I mean, what more could you want? And what more could you do than passing the mantle from Steph to Giannis? That would be fantastic. Is it going to happen? We'll have to wait and see. Yeah, I mean, like, the NBA season this year is going to be pretty interesting. I mean, I don't think Denver are going to repeat. I mean, we haven't had a repeat champion since Golden State did it. So, I mean, is it possible? Well, I mean, who's stopping Jokic? Nobody. Who's stopping Jamal Murray? I mean, there's players out there who can stop him. It's just a matter of who is going to do it. And my theory is that if Denver actually played Golden State in the Western Conference Finals, it wouldn't have even been a sweep. Denver hasn't beaten Golden State in a playoff series. I don't think ever. I may be too young to remember any in the 90s if they ever played against each other, but the point is, in my lifetime, I've never seen the Denver Nuggets beat the Golden State Warriors in a playoff series. Not in 2013 when Steph and Clay were just getting started, and not in the year they won it in 2022. They beat them in 5 games. Now, they didn't have Jamal Murray, but I still stand by that Golden State would have still beat them with a Jamal Murray. It would have went longer than 5 games, but I still believe that Golden State would have found a way to win the game, won the season, 6 games. And if they would have met this year, I would have taken Golden State in 7. Because Golden State is capable of winning games on the road, but last season, that 10-31 record was an aberration. It blows. I mean, the Jordan Poole and Draymond Green, assault. that's what I'll say. Like, Draymond Green slid on him, bro. It's pretty sad to see what happened to Jordan Poole that year. I mean, that one punch completely killed the chemistry. And that's why you see a 10-31 record on the road, because there was no camaraderie. You see clips of Steph last year having to get on Jordan Poole up and not acknowledging Draymond Green. That's the kind of energy, like, you know, when players like that are coming towards the end of their career, like, they don't need that. They don't have as much time left. And they're trying to win as many championships as they could. I can test that if Steph were to win another ring and a finals MVP, I would put him above Kobe Bryant. Now, Kobe Bryant has the all defense, which is, you know, hey. I mean, if Steph was half the defender Kobe Bryant was, you're talking about probably top 3 player of all time, because he can shoot the ball. And honestly, going through the hole, he's done so much better, and he just crafted it. I still think the best finisher under the rim is Kyrie Irving, but that's underrated. Anyway, switching gears from basketball over to the world of European football, man. Let me tell you this. Seeing Arsenal make all these signings, Declan Rice, Kai Havertz, you know, y'all better do something. Let me just say that. Y'all better do something, because all the bands of, oh, Chelsea spent $700 million, $800 million in two transfer windows. It's like, okay, so now that you guys have spent close to $200 million, I don't want to hear any excuses about not being in the top 4 next year, or at least competing for a trophy. Because if Arsenal find themselves outside of the top 4, which I don't, which me personally, I don't think is going to happen. I think that squad is just too good to be outside of it. Arteta's job shouldn't be on the line, but the season after, you're looking at, you better win at something. Whether or not they qualify for the Champions League again, or they're competitive in the league this year, or they somehow, in the next 2 or 3 years, like they, God forbid, win it. Yeah, I mean, Mikel Arteta should have a similar tenure to Arsene Wenger, but at the same time, Arteta has to win more than just an FA Cup. Go win the league, and go make a deep run in the Champions League, and then we'll start saying, okay, I mean, Mikel Arteta is one of those managers that in the next 10 to 15 years, you can build an institution and have him be at that level that Arsene Wenger used to have Arsenal at when they were challenging Manchester United and Chelsea in the late 90s and the mid-2000s. So, I mean, do I want to see that? God, no, I'm a Chelsea fan. Like, I don't want to see that, but do I believe it's going to happen? Arsenal have the squad and they have the finances to be in and around that champion, in and around that, the top of the league, and should be consistently in the Champions League. The years that they won in the Champions League, you blame that on the board for getting, you blame it on the board, but you also blame it on the managers and the players, because the players at that time that they weren't getting into those top four spots were dreadful. So, it's going to pain me to say this, but yeah, it is nice to see Arsenal in and around that top four again. It is nice to see them actually being competitive, because the league is better when the big boys are actually competitive, and that gets me on a Chelsea. I will say that I do want to see some type of improvement in front of goal. When you're buying a striker in Nick Jackson for about $39 million. I mean, hey, I mean, I'm not expecting him to be Drogba, but I'm expecting him to bang in some type of goals, because you're going to get the opportunity. Poch's system is going to allow you to do that. So the high energy, all that stuff, is going to allow you to win the ball high up the pitch. Mudryk, Medueti, Sterling are going to benefit a lot more from goal creation and being able to get the rebounds off of misses, off the post, all that kind of stuff. It just depends on, does this team want it enough, and can we build the right midfield around Enzo fucking Fernandez, man? Because I believe, honestly, we have our next best Fabregas, but you have to build the right, you have to bring in the right pieces. Caicedo is the next good step there. Now you're looking for one of these young players to take that next number eight mantle and be like, I want to be in that midfield that takes this club into the next 5 to 7 years, winning league titles, winning Champions League, at least making deep runs into the Champions League, just to let other teams know that Chelsea had one bad season, and you got people saying that we're a mid-table club. Mid-table clubs don't win European clubs. Mid-table clubs don't win league titles. Mid-table clubs still don't attract the names that we're still being linked with, and we're still being able to at least have conversations with players of the possibility of wearing that blue shirt. I believe at some point somebody will break that number nine curse. Maybe it will be Osimhen. I hope they don't give it to Nick Jackson just because of how young he is. And it would be devastating to see him have that pressure of that shirt so early on. But if he wants it, power to you. I'm not going to hate on it. But just understand that shirt is not easy to wear. The Klopp couldn't do it. Fernando Torres didn't really do it. I mean, Falcao didn't do it. Tammy Abraham was probably the next man up, but I believe they gave up on him too early. And now he's blossoming at Roma. They still have that buyback clause, and I'm sitting here like, why not just go do the buyback clause to Tammy Abraham? But then again, different managers, different ownership may not see the same vision that he had coming back probably 2-3 years later. Tammy's happy in Roma. Tammy's doing his thing. Won a European Cup this season. before, almost won one again. I mean, he's winning right now, man. So I'm happy for him. Hope he continues to do well down there. Chelsea this season should be in and around that top four. They should be in the top four with the players they signed, with the managers they got, being able to take Spurs' greatest ever managers. Right now, if he ever wins anything with us, which he more than likely will, just being able to rub it in some Spurs fans' faces, oh man, it's going to be a fantastic season. Man. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here. I'm going to get back more onto this. These past few months, I've been really trying to get my head clear, you know, and just watching people talk about the stuff that they just love to do. I mean, I just need to be able to get on to more, be more confident, of course, and then, you know, express my opinions, express my feelings on things, because I'm a very opinionated person. And, you know, hopefully one of these days, when this shit actually reaches people, they actually understand that, damn, like, this guy Jason actually has pretty solid takes on shit that you wouldn't really hear from everyone else. But hey, I mean, that's what makes me. I got different opinions on things that people don't like to hear, but then in a few years' time, that I actually end up being right about it. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and end it here. I'll try to get on again soon. It was nice talking to y'all. I'm out. Stay healthy, stay safe, and honestly, just enjoy life. I'm gone. Peace and love, boys.